Welcome to The Good Stuff with the Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone, alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
And gobble, gobble, gobble.
and I'm laughing still because we're talking about how full we are
still
from Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And the expanded pants that we're wearing.
That's like the one day where you're allowed to eat everything and anything you want.
I really like leftovers.
Oh, that's true.
Almost
too.
More than the actual Thanksgiving.
No,
I don't think I'm alone in that. But so it continues. I try not to eat too much. One time.
But I do feel like it's like the law of diminishing returns. Like the first round of leftovers, so good.
Very true.
And then like day three, if you see anything still in the fridge, you're like, ugh.
Yeah, no,
like,
day three is
no
when
more.
I call it.
Yeah, it's time to call it.
to
and I'm like,
it.
I need a pepperoni pizza at that point. So that might be dinner tonight.
Hot dog. Yeah.
Hot dog, pepperoni pizza, something totally different. And no mashed potatoes for days, weeks.
Yeah,
maybe
mashed potatoes
couple
leftover,
months.
Not always
so good.
The best.
But it was good. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did.
Yeah, me too.
I tried to get out into nature.
And how'd that go?
And watch a lot of football.
Win-win.
I know.
So that's like nature and football, totally the same.
Well, they complement one another and they contrast. And if it was all, I guess I could get away with all nature and no football, but I would be unhappy. But all football and no nature probably wouldn't be healthy.
Right. So that's a good balance.
I try.
Yeah. Excellent.
Okay, well, so our guest today.
So there you go.
We'll try to focus between
We'll turkey trot right into the next conversation.
Maybe we should be running while we're doing the show. Our guest today is somebody that you know very well, Carissa.
Yes.
Taylor Saris of Sonoma Valley Saris Ranch. She has deep roots in Sonoma County agriculture, like so many of the people that you work with. Sixth generation farmer. Taylor lives and works with her family at the ranch, which has been owned and operated by her family since 1924. I mean, that's crazy. Pre-prohibition.
Yeah, almost 100 years.
Seen a lot of ups and downs, no doubt. But like so many people in agriculture, they're smart. And they originally operated as dairy and row crops. And they continue to be pretty diversified. So in addition to grape growing, they raise cattle and they farm blueberries.
And like the best blueberries in the world, can I just tell you? Like those are good. Like we get to see Taylor like in July for our board meeting because she's on the Sonoma County Wine Growers Board. I should just mention that. And she will bring in, or if it's exec committee or board, the fresh blueberries that she's just harvested. And they go quickly and they're delicious. And you can only get them for a very, very short time while they're in season at some of our local supermarkets. I know I typically get mine at Oliver's and I think they also have them at Pacific in Sebastopol. So
right.
Two of my favorite places to shop.
And I think we'll also touch on in our conversation that they make a blueberry
Blase.
Alcoholic
they do.
Product.
In a fabulous can.
Yeah. Which
great
I have enjoyed many times.
Great to go.
So thank you for that.
Yes.
But in addition to being on your board, Taylor is the company director and winemaker at Saris Ranch. So we'll get into some of the details of that, but like so many families that farm grapes, subsequently, you know, over generations, they may decide to also make a bit of wine. And I think that that's fairly new for the family. So we should definitely talk about that and what that transition is like and being the young generation and coming in and having your own ideas.
So, and Taylor is amazing, first of all, and does 1,000 things. Like, literally, I've never, ever heard her say no to anything, which is an amazing quality that I really appreciate, because I ask her to do things a lot. But she also is managing multiple businesses, sitting in a number of leadership positions, and always is pushing the envelope to take on more to support Sonoma County, the community, agriculture. So, just an awesome, awesome person.
Well, and I think it's also a good chance to talk about the harvest.
Yes.
It was so long that we haven't really had a chance to have a lot of people on to talk about it because they're asleep still.
Yeah, recovering.
And so Taylor,
it was like the harvest recovery and the Thanksgiving recovery. And those two things kind of were closer together this year than they have been in a long time.
I know. So it's hibernation time now. It's hibernation season.
Totally.
But also the blueberry harvest, because that, I presume, is quite different than a grape harvest.
Right.
But I don't know. I need to learn. So maybe we can ask some questions about that as well.
It's going to be exciting.
This is The Good Stuff. Sign up for our newsletter online at SonomaWineGrape.org.
Was that
Welcome back to The Good Stuff. I am here with Carissa Cruz, a very full, I was going to say a very full
I know.
Carissa Cruz. We're both lying down, just so you know.
Yes.
And our guest.
Post-turkey hangover.
Our guest today, who's sitting very nicely, is Taylor Sarris from Sarris Ranch. Thank you for joining us. Sorry, we're a little goofy today.
No problem. It just must be the turkey.
I think, yeah, all that dopamine or
tryptophan
whatever.
Or
yeah,
something, I think whatever. It's called.
It's delicious, whatever it is.
Whatever it is. Well, I feel very fortunate that I've had a chance to tour your ranch, and I live not far away from it, and, mm-hmm. and Carissa certainly knows a lot about your family history, but I'd love for you to kind of tell a little bit more about it for our listeners. Like, you've been there since 1924, farming all sorts of different things. Give us a little bit more of your background.
Yeah, absolutely. So the property was actually originally owned by General Fighting Joe Hooker. He was a military general in the Mexican-American War and the Civil War. And he owned the property in between those two military stints. And he was gifted the property after the Mexican-American War from General Vallejo mm-hmm. and wanted to take up grape growing. And he wasn't a very good farmer, in all honesty, but that's okay.
Well, he had a name like Fighting Joe Hooker, so it wasn't
right.
like Fighting Farmer.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like Man of the Land.
Yeah.
It was like Fighting Joe Hooker. Like
he, I'm pretty sure he wasn't. From what I heard, I don't think he was a very good general either. I believe the North won the Civil War because he didn't get somewhere on time when he was supposed to. So it actually worked out well.
So he was lazy.
Yeah.
A lazy fighting.
Well, I think he liked the vino. I think he was a big fan of the alcohol.
Oh, was it vino or was it Value Vodka?
You know, it could have been either. I'm not quite sure.
Who knows?
Not sure yeah. how much vino there could have been, but yeah.
I think with like the Mexican-American War and the missions
he
and all of that.
He was drinking mission grape.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the really high quality stuff.
Yes, yum.
And,
so it could have been Value Vodka.
Similar.
Same concept, for sure.
Yeah.
And so after he wanted to re-enlist into the military, George Watrous, who was a New York aristocrat, came over from New York City. He had hotels in New York City, Louisiana, and was considering building a hotel in San Francisco. And that's how he met my great-grandfather, Toots Sarris.
And
Toots.
Toots.
Like Tootsie
that.
Roll.
Tootsie. Oh. I love
it. T-O-O-T-S. His name was John Pierre, same as my dad, but his common name, he went by Toots.
Okay, we've had this conversation
I love it.
A number of times, and I've never heard you talk about Toots.
Yeah.
Maybe you've always
we actually have a
name.
Wine that we're going to name after him.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yes.
We'll get into that in a little bit. But so my great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather had hotels in New York City. Excuse me. Hotels in San Francisco and liquor stores as well. And so that's how he made the connection with the Watrous family. I don't know how the Watrouses found current day Sarris Ranch, but they did, and they fell in love. And so George Watrous purchased the property from Hooker on the courthouse steps in San Francisco in 1857, moved onto the property and said, what the heck do I do? And so that's where Toots and his parents came into the picture. They would summer up in Sonoma regularly because of the bathhouses.
Right.
We have geothermal activity underneath our property, and that's why roads like Agua Caliente Road, Boys Hot Springs, Fetters Hot Springs, Morton's Hot Springs, those are not ironic. Those are because there's actual real geothermal activity, and I think the only place in Sonoma today, other than, well, Morton's Hot Springs in Kenwood, but Sonoma Mission Inn, I believe, has a well that taps into the mineral water, mm-hmm. and you can swim in it at the spa.
Yes.
And so with all of that, the Sarrises moved onto the property and basically became business partners. They slowly developed the ground to a certain extent. They had a couple dairy cows. They had some row crops. Toots was really into the political scene as well as the social scene as far as becoming just a integral community member. And so from then on, he realized that Sonoma was where he wanted to lay rest, and ended up slowly purchasing parcels from the Watchers family, the final parcel being purchased in 1924. So we've actually been there for over 100 years, but officially own the property for 100 years next year. So 2024 will be our 100-year anniversary.
So fun.
And so in those early days, because you mentioned the hot springs, and I think there was a lot of resort activity, and there were a lot of people that would come up here. Was there a railroad that would go through kind of like where Highway 12 is and stop at your property?
So it wouldn't stop at our property, but it actually went through our property. So we have like a main dividing point, and if you go on our website, you'll see kind of a road with a tunnel of trees, and that's what we call the railroad tracks.
It's beautiful.
Oh, and wow. And so that was the pathway of the railway system. So it would basically come from, I believe it came from like the Bay Area of sorts, mm-hmm. And that's how people would get up there. So we wouldn't necessarily have people stop on the property other than... I remember stories from my dad when he was a kid, and his cousins would talk about hobos, like actual hobos that would hop on and hop mm-hmm. off the train, and they'd come and work for a week, and then when the train came back through, they'd hop back on and go to the next place.
Right.
And wow. And so with that, it wasn't necessarily a stop like the Kenwood Depot or the Sonoma Depot, but it did have the tracks going through our property.
And so did Hooker also, Fighting Joe Hooker,
known as
Sleepy Sometimes Drunk Hooker, did he also own the land that is now Bedrock?
Yes.
That's right near you.
He did. So it was, the property was originally 1 square mile. So I think that's around 640 acres. The main boundaries were Sonoma Creek, which runs at the, what we call like the bottom part of our property. So the most western-ish area. So it runs Sonoma Creek, and it would go up to Hooker Creek, which is where all that road construction was for that bridge that
right.
couple of months ago that caused a ruckus for all of Sonoma. And then went up Cavedale Road, so up the Mayacamas Mountain Range, about, I believe it was about a third of a mile, half mile, give or take. And then down to modern day Agua Caliente Road, because that was kind of like a main thoroughfare. So it was much larger back then, and then parcels kind of slowly sold off throughout the years. Current day, our property is 200 acres with 130 planted to grapevines.
Okay.
Yeah, and an incredible place to visit. I know you host a lot of events, including your own wedding.
Yes.
Which was incredible. But like, talk a little bit about sort of growing up on the ranch and like early memories of, you know, being out with your dad. And I love, we should mention Gabino Ramirez, who is one of your long-term vineyard employees. He was our first Sonoma County Foundation Employee of the Year back in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So just talk a little bit, because you have some great stories about Gabino when you were born and just sort of your childhood on the ranch. And the rain.
Yes.
I think there was something with the rain.
Yes. So I have two older brothers. My mom slowly got further and further away from the hospital with every child being born. And so I was born at home. And that night they were actually re-roofing the house. And so they had just taken the roof off. And then my mom went into labor and they're like, okay, everyone out. And Gabino, who Carissa was referencing, he had been working there for a couple years at that point, I believe. And I was born, everything was good, no problems. Well, that evening the rain came. And I was with my mom under the area that didn't have the shingle roof. So it still had plywood, but water would just seep through or just kind of, seeped through the plywood.
This is crazy.
And my dad and brothers were in the roofed area of the house, and so they had to call Broncos. We were good friends with the Broncos family, and they had to go get big truck tarps and cover the house, and it was this big cluster. And Gabino, he always said, "The girl brings the rain." And so I kid you not, every year, you know, middle of May, he'll call me, it'll be raining, and he'll call me and he'll go, "The girl brings the rain," and then just hang up. And I'm like, awesome, thanks.
Right around your birthday. You
right,
can expect,
exactly.
Not so much happy birthday, Taylor.
Yes.
More,
but that's
the girl
his way of saying happy birthday. And so, yeah, we are very fortunate. Growing up on the property, we would help my brothers and I, you know, they're older than I am, so they probably helped a little bit more than I did. But I remember like picking leaves. In all honesty, I was probably more in the way than really
That's
helping.
What younger siblings are supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Be a nuance.
They needed to know where you were.
Exactly.
So. Yeah.
But we would, you know, we would drive four-wheelers around and go-karts, and we just, you know, caused a ruckus, I'm sure. building forts down in the creek, and just, it was, I don't know any different. But I'm happy with my childhood, that's for sure. So
did you think you were going to stay on the ranch, get married and live on the ranch, go into farming? Like, when did that idea or take shape?
Yes and no. When I was younger, I always was really into 4-H and FFA and raising animals. And I always said, like, I was more of the cow person than the horse person. And I raised pigs and beef and had dairy cows and that kind of stuff for 4-H and FFA. And I always wanted to become a vet. That was, as a young kid, you know, you have your dream career. And then as I got older, I realized that that really wasn't, I didn't get super fulfilled from that, I guess you could say. And so went into a little bit of the it was always agricultural based, but kind of went, do I want to go the water rights thing and do the legal stuff? And then realized that I didn't want to fight for my entire life, even though, funny, here we are today fighting for our rights. And so it just kind of fell into place, but I was happy with it. It wasn't a negative thing at all. We have a rule with our family. After college, you have to go and work for somebody else for 5 years before you can work for the family business. So I went and worked upon graduating Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, majoring in wine and viticulture with a minor in ag business and dairy science. I went and worked for the Sonoma Valley Vintners and Growers Alliance. Mm-hmm. I helped co-produce the Sonoma Harvest Wine Auction for 5 years, and then worked for a private hunting club in Sonoma for a year, and then came back to the family business in 2016, I believe. Yeah.
And I met you in those early days when you were doing the wine auction.
Yes. Mm. I remember those days.
I know.
Yes.
So what generation planted grapes?
My dad.
Okay.
So Hooker had planted vines back then, and we actually have vineyards planted in that current location today, but those were ripped out. There's a picture of Franklin Watrous and my grandfather, Franklin Watrous Saris, as a little boy on the side of the tractor ripping out those old vines. Wow. And so then my dad in the 70s, with the help of Jim Bunshu, planted the first vines on our property. They're still planted today. We actually just got an amazing crop this year, which we were all surprised of. Really good quality too, which is nice. And then kind of took a little bit of a hiatus, and mid-80s, early to mid-80s is when the majority of everything went in. Mm-hmm. And still farming grapes today.
And so your dad did not have interest in making wine, I presume.
He always made homemade wine, and that was kind of the catalyst to starting our wine label. But he was running all of our businesses, the construction company, the wine grapes, the blueberries, and the cattle. And so adding one more thing to his plate was not not the smartest thing. And so that's why when I was the last one to come back to work for my family. And so when I came back, that's when we kind of started the wine business side of things, and wanted to promote our name, promote Sonoma Valley, promote Merlot, and so on and so forth.
So did you feel like, did you sort of raise your hand, like, I want to take this on? Or was it sort of a family decision that you're the chosen one?
No. So I would say that I've always
been
more...
Well, we've already gone through Hooker, Toots, and now it's Taylor.
Yes, exactly. The chosen one. Yes. I've always been one that was more interested in the grapes. Like, from a little kid, when my dad was making homemade wine, I'd go out and help him and have wine with water and just that kind of stuff. So the grapes were always kind of my thing. Mm-hmm. So I think it just kind of happened naturally. We all take a role in the family business. By all, I mean my brothers and I, on different levels. And my oldest brother, John, he mainly runs our construction company. My middle brother, Buck, and myself, we do most of the agricultural things, and then I'm kind of focusing more so on the wine. But it's a joint effort from all of us in kind of rising the bar for everyone.
Such a great example of a generational business, you know, and really coming to your generation and thinking new ways and introducing new products.
Yeah, it is interesting for sure.
Okay. I know. Welcome to the wine business.
Yes.
Just when we thought we couldn't have enough fun with farming, now we're going to do wine.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Taylor Saris. on the Good Stuff, here today with Carissa Cruz and our guest, Taylor Saris. And when we left, we were talking a lot about just Taylor coming into the family business on her own after years of doing other things, and really always having a connection to the grapes. Tell us a little bit more about what you grow, and then kind of how you thought about starting a wine program.
Absolutely. So we are, like I said earlier, we're a lot warmer with the geothermal activity underneath us. So currently, we do not grow any white grapes. There is a potential change of that happening the end of this year, beginning
what?
Of next. I know.
You heard it here first. Breaking news.
And not 100% confirmed yet, but I think that's coming. But some of the varietals that we grow, predominantly Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, Petit Verdot, Malbec. We have some Italian varietals such as Barbera, Aliotico, Zinfandel, Syrah, Petite Syrah, Tanat, and then a new little vineyard that we had put in has Touriga Nacional, Carignan, and Mavedra.
Wow.
Three varietals that kind of are completely off in the off to the side, and that is our heritage block because those were the same varietals that Hooker had planted in the same location. So we grow those, but we just put them in, so I don't know anything about them yet.
And that's Fighting Joe Hooker.
Yes,
so,
sorry.
Just for those who maybe are just tuning in.
Right.
One
not
of the original founders of the ranch.
Not just any Joe Hooker is Fighting,
yeah, fighting Joe
Hooker.
Joe Hooker.
What did your dad plant initially with Jim Bunshu? Was that Merlot?
Merlot.
Okay.
Yeah, we have always been very well known for Merlot.
I was
going
to say it's like the shining star of your ranch, for
and,
sure.
And so with our wines, our first two wines that we made, one was a Bordeaux blend and the other was a Merlot. The Bordeaux blend being named Watrous after the family who owned the property before the Sarises, which has somewhat become a family name as well. My grandfather's middle name is Watrous, and then my youngest nephew, he is Woodrow Watrous Saris. And then the Merlot being named Buchanan after my brother Buck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fantastic. Like nods to history, current history and past history.
And yes. Great names.
And how much, you still sell a lot of the grapes.
We sell most of our grapes. We just have one block that we feel is kind of our best ground. It has a little bit more volcanic red, very porous soil, and that we have kind of, when you're a valley farmer, when you have a little bit of an elevation, it's like up on the bench ground is what we call it. And that's just 7 acres. And so 123 are sold to other wineries throughout Napa and Sonoma counties.
Okay. Yeah.
And so what year did you start the winery?
2018 was our first vintage. Yep. Took a couple years previous to that to get all the paperwork completed.
I think I drank a few Shiners with you early days.
We did, actually, way back when. That's right. And so 2018 was the first vintage, but didn't release that until end of 2021, beginning of 2022.
Yeah, because those wines need some time to age.
Yes, all of our wines definitely. They're good to drink now, but they will get better with age.
And so with all the different parts of the family business, and certainly selling grapes is very different than selling wine.
Yes.
So how did you go into thinking, okay, how much should we make? How do we sell it? Was it once you had wine, is that when people really started to be able to visit the property?
Yes. So all of the above. Selling grapes is much different than selling wine, and that was a huge eye-opener to us. Thankfully, we are very, very small, so we are no more than 500 cases, and so that allows us to be able to still manage the other businesses as well as manage the wine business, and it's all quality-driven. We have lots that will produce into wine, tons that will produce into wine, and then if they don't meet our quality standard, then we get rid of them. And so that's kind of how the has been the driving force with everything that we're doing. Our name is on the bottle, so we want to make sure it's a high enough quality. Just as you had mentioned earlier, the blueberries, we call those blueberries extremely hard. So you're only left with the really big, juicy ones. And we have so much waste, but it's able to go into other offshoots for blueberry production, which is a positive.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as back to the wine, sorry to jump around, but deciding how much to make, we just kind of started with 500 and we're kind of sitting at that amount right now, hoping to build the wine club, build our ranch tour experience. We are open by appointment only for ranch tours all year round. And so we're able to showcase, you know, our vineyard, what's happening in the vineyard at the certain times of year for our club members as well as our patrons and guests.
So, so you can go to sarahsranchwine.com if you want to make one of those appointments.
Absolutely.
And learn more. That's great.
Yeah, and having visitors there must just be such an interesting experience because it's, I mean, you know, you mentioned being just a little kid pulling grapes and being born there.
Literally.
So, yeah, like literally.
She brought the rain.
In the rain, yes. I mean, was it a weird transition to sort of all of a sudden open your doors and tell your family story? And I mean, you've got a lot of history to go through. I mean, people must love it.
Yeah, it's very well received, honestly. And it's kind of nice because when you drive down the driveway every day, like I do, it's the same. It's not that it's not pretty, not that it's anything, but when you're used to driving down it, you kind of lose that lure.
The sense of wonder.
Exactly. Kind of, And so when you have people come out, even driving down the driveway this time of year, you know, most of the oak trees have lost their leaves. We still have some leaves on the grapevines, but it's a more quiet time of year. Everything's kind of going to sleep as opposed to the spring where everything's green and pretty and coming out. Everyone is still so captivated by driving down that driveway. And so it's nice. It's kind of a reminder. That no, we do live in paradise. We are so fortunate.
Absolutely.
So it's actually been good for just like the overall consensus and overall feel of the property that even though you drive down the driveway every day and there may be some potholes in the road, we'll get those fixed. Thankfully, we have a construction company for that. But it's
self-contained.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's potholes everywhere.
It is gorgeous and we are so fortunate.
Well, and the thing I think folks love, which I love about what you do is, you know, there's a lot of great experiences in tasting rooms and going out and exploring vineyards, but you literally like throw people like in the ATV and drive them around the ranch.
Yes.
So as you're sharing this history over presumably a glass of wine of Sarah's Ranch wine, you're actually taking folks to the place where the first block of grapes were planted and they're seeing where the railroad, you know, went through the property and getting to really experience how you live there, how you farm there. Firsthand, and
absolutely.
So it's an immersion. It's almost like I always refer to Sonoma County as like the Epcot center of the wine world because it's like I feel like it's always something you get to really experience, and it's a little more intellectual approach to that experience. And I feel like that especially is like I've entered a world in Epcot, and here I am experiencing this firsthand, just like if I were living here, farming here, or making wine from this space. So,
and it's a world that doesn't change dramatically, right? I mean, it's that's also comforting to some degree. Like you come in and you see what you saw growing up or what your dad saw planting the place and all the way back to the early days of your family being there. We definitely want to hit on, you know, you said your first vintage was 2018. So this year was your fifth vintage.
Yes.
Right? Am I doing the math right? And I mean, that's a roller coaster of vintages. I kind of... I'm thinking, but let's talk about 2023 because I think, I mean, from what I'm hearing, it was long, it was bountiful, but it was great.
Yes, I would completely agree. Actually, our first day of 2023 harvest was September 18th, and our last day was November 9th. So it was almost a full 2 months on and off. Throughout that time period, I think we got hit with three different weather systems. So that was pretty crazy. But I think the beauty of this vintage is because it was so long, because there was so much hang time for the fruit, you really got to develop those characters and those flavors in each berry, as opposed to just a rapid heat spike that happened. So because of the moderate year, I think the quality this year is going to be one for the books.
Yeah, I
know.
Agree.
I've heard that across from the farmers, from the winemakers. Just, yeah, hang time is good.
Hang time is good.
When you don't have that pressure.
It's good for grapes, good for people.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break and hang out a little bit before we come back and talk a little bit more with Taylor Sarahs.
Thank you.
the good stuff, Carissa Cruz, and our guest, Taylor Saris.
Talking about lots of good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, all good stuff. So before we get to the good stuff that is blueberries, I did want to ask Taylor a little bit more about the wine that you're going to make in honor of Toots, the great Toots.
Yes. So we will be making an Aliotico Rosé, so a still wine. We do have our blueberry sparkling rosé, which is made with Aliotico wine grapes, but this will be a still rosé, and that will be named Toots. So all of our wines have a name to them. Watrous, as I mentioned earlier, for the Bordeaux blend, Buchanan for the Merlot, Marshall for the Cabernet, which is named after my oldest brother, John, and then Catherine, which will be our newest release, which is a Malbec named after my grandmother. She's the 10th Catherine in a row.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah. So the pressure's on.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
And then the newest release after the Catherine will be the Toots, which is, it's not the Toots, but it's Toots, named after great grandfather, John Pierre Saris, common name Toots.
Eventually, will there be a wine called the Girl That Brought the Rain wine?
There really should be. There should be something named in your honor.
I think we'll probably do something. I've always been more of a Cabernet Franc person.
Love Cab Franc.
Once we get something to be good enough, we'll put it into a bottle.
Nice. I look forward to that. So, blueberries. How long has your family been farming blueberries, and how does one begin doing that?
So, blueberries, my parents planted the blueberries in 2001, and they're grown up in Laytonville, California, in Mendocino County, and we had some property up there. My dad is never one to sit on his hands, and so he ended up clearing kind of this plateau of ground and tested the soil, and based off of the tests, hazelnuts or blueberries were the two best products that would grow there. And he had mentioned that an old timer once said that this is berry country. And so one thing led to another, and here we are today, 22 years later.
Wow. Incredible. And so I imagine, is it similar to grapes in any way, or is it completely different?
It's completely different.
It's farming, and that's where it ends.
It's
farming, but I would say one similarity. We have incorporated some of the things, well, my parents had incorporated some of the things that they knew from growing grapes into the blueberries as far as the pruning technique. We prune very heavily, which allows for the bigger sized fruit. We don't use any sprays. We don't use any pesticides. We just use a nitrogen fertilizer in the irrigation. So we fertigate, and that's it. And then as far as, like, we use trellising wires to kind of keep the berry bush together, because it's kind of like almost like a lilac bush, and they are tall, and we have northern high bush, and the most common varietal that we grow is Duke. So it's very different in the sense that blueberries, when you buy them on the shelf, you don't buy based off of varietal, you buy a blueberry, where grapes or apples or even oranges, kind of, you buy the varietal, but there is so much diversity in flavor and taste in blueberries.
I wonder if that will change.
I'm kind of hoping. I'm actually working with Fish Friendly Farming now to get a sustainability certification. Yeah. So trying to get learning what I've learned just being on the Sonoma County Wine Grape Commission board and bringing that into the Blueberry Commission.
Which is great.
And so hoping that maybe we can get some kind of varietal specific marketing out there.
And then you've turned it into a lovely drink product.
Yes.
Why?
I mean, why not? Is the better question.
Exactly, but I want to know why.
Yes. So my brother Buck actually was the one that came up with the idea, and it was really bridging the two commodities, the things that were most unique to us. One being Aliotico, we're one of the only growers in District 3, as well as blueberries. And so we co-ferment the blueberries and the wine grapes, and everything you know about winemaking, our winemaking team kind of just throws it out the window and just shoots for the stars. We've been fine-tuning the recipe over the years, but it is in a can, lightly carbonated, a really fun, dry.
I was going to say it's dry, which I think is the biggest surprise.
Yeah. And that's because we use real blueberries as opposed to concentrate.
Yep.
It is delicious.
The common consumer thinks a blueberry, they think like a blueberry muffin, or blueberry flavor, they think blueberry muffin, and this is nothing like that.
Yeah.
Well, we are so sad that this conversation is coming to an end, and we want to thank you so much for joining us and telling us all these great stories. I have, feel like we just scratched the surface. We
I know.
Need to have you come back.
We'll have her come back. And you can definitely check out sarisranchwine.com to learn more and to make your own appointment to go have all things blueberries, wine, and great conversation.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we're back on the good
stuff.
And yeah, we love the musical interludes.
Thank you, Michelle.
we sort of said goodbye to Taylor, but she wanted to remind us of one other thing that's happening very soon.
Yes. In 1 week, December 2nd, Sonoma Valley will have their first annual lighted tractor parade, which will be, we had a bell ringing for Ring in the Harvest,
yeah.
And the lighted tractor parade will be the final prelude of Harvest, yeah. With all the vintners and growers coming out, lighting up their tractors and welcoming the holidays.
Oh,
so where will it start?
It will start at the ball field on First Street East,
okay.
Go down First Street East, turn on to Napa Street, and end in the horseshoe in front of the Sonoma Plaza.
Okay.
Oh, I love it.
I love
the ringing the bell tradition, and now I love the lighted tractor farewell to harvest.
Exactly.
Hello, holidays.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, we're on to our Tuesday night wines.
I know.
What are you doing?
Well,
when am I coming over, and what time should I be there?
Anytime. I mean, immediately, right now. or we could just... We could have our Tuesday night wine here as we speak. So I chose, thinking about Sonoma Valley and a lot of the producers that I know and love there, I picked a Lassiter wine.
Nice.
It's a 2021 cab, and I think people know, roughly that Lassiter's in Sonoma Valley, kind of in Glen Ellen, not far from Saras Ranch. But this cab is actually from their Moon Mountain District property. They have a Cabernet vineyard up there called Trinity Ridge. And I'm going with that.
Nice. Well, we're going to be all things Sonoma Valley, so we should definitely be drinking these together.
Mm-hmm. In Sonoma
so,
Valley.
So, in a nod to our guest today, and because I love the wines, I'm going to be having a Saras Ranch. I think it's a 19, which is their current vintage, the Watros, which is their Bordeaux blend. So, super excited about that. It's always fun to rip those corks. And as we talked about on the show, I was an early adopter since I got to try some of the Shiners. So, continue to be a fan.
Yeah, and I look forward to the Toots wine.
The Toots.
And the
I want to be like, hey, I brought you a bottle of Toots. Like, I think that's just like going to be my thing.
That is instant happiness.
Instant happiness.
Yeah. Okay, well, we've gone through a lot. We've covered a lot of ground. And I like this notion of kind of closing out harvest. I think everyone can agree that's a time that needs to be marked. And it's a time when maybe you go into the holidays with your full heart and your full mind and you...
Yeah.
Feel
celebrate.
Like you can relax and not have to work nonstop. So I wish that for everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you for joining us again on the Good Stuff Hour today. Thank you to our guest, Taylor Saras, from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.